And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile. That's rare air.
Hello and welcome back to the Upper Quartile Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Aiello, and I am joined by the Athletics Indianapolis Colts beat writer, James Boyd. James, the offseason is officially underway here. I mean, we are in the thick of the roster building time of the season. We just finished up at the NFL Combine. The franchise tag deadline just passed. We're about to get into NFL free agency. I hope you guys all enjoyed the break that the NFL gave you in that month between the Super Bowl and now, because here we are. We're back. So how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Obviously, it's been a bit of a whirlwind here in Indianapolis with the All-Star weekend and then NFL Combine back-to-back weeks. So I didn't sleep very much, spent a lot of time at the Indiana Convention Center for both the NBA and the NFL. But it was exciting. I enjoyed seeing a bunch of my friends, talking to people, trying to gather information. And obviously, yesterday was just a lot of waiting around and twiddling our thumbs until 4 p.m. Eastern time, a little bit before, actually, because the Colts finally broke the news. They were going to franchise tag Michael Pittman Jr.
I believe it.
I would like to ask you, Jim, you got children. How would you like to be able to go to the park? And while you're at the park, as MPJ showed on his Instagram story, how would you like to go to the park as a father and husband and get a $21.8 million raise?
I think my wife would like me a lot better. That's for sure. I tell you, you know what, man? That's what the market tells him is worth, and he is worth it. Like, we were joking before we started this thing up, man. Like, if he doesn't get the extension, which we can talk about, like, if he has to play on the tag, he's gonna be playing at less than he's worth, which is almost $22 million. And you and I both think probably $25 million. Per year to start with. That's probably the starting place. I mean, we just saw Evans got $26 million. I know the contract's a little different when you kind of break it down, but man, these prices aren't getting cheaper with the salary cap going up. So anyway, no, I think it's Michael Pittman earned it. Michael Pittman Jr. earned it. He put up some big numbers with a lot of bad quarterback play, a lot of changing quarterback play. We don't really have to belabor this point too much. Like, you and I have been on the pay Michael Pittman bandwagon for, I think, since this became a conversation, since he became eligible for an extension at this point. So good day for him. Good day to be Michael Pittman family member, Michael Pittman Jr. I'd have to look. Actually, I'm curious, and I don't mean this as a shot at his dad. It's more of like the time of, like, you know, the NFL. I wonder if he's going to make more money this year than like his dad made in the NFL.
That would be something.
Just because, again, he's a running back, and running backs were more valuable back then. But still, I mean, the cap wasn't anywhere near what it was now. So, we could probably do some quick research on it. But I do wonder if he's about to make more money in this one season than his dad ever made. And again, no shot at his dad. His dad was a good player.
Yeah, I mean, and then just to explain to everyone what the non-exclusive franchise tag means and why teams use it rather than the exclusive franchise tag, which is much more rare. It hasn't been used on a non-quarterback since Le'Veon Bell in 2018, which was now 6 years ago. So time is moving. That was the year I graduated college. So the exclusive tag takes the average of the top five players at that position for one current year, that current year, versus with the non-exclusive tag, where you have teams that can obviously offer a deal or offer to try to get this player. They use the top five salary at that position over an average of 5 years. So it's lower. And you have to give up, in theory, two first round picks in exchange for said player if you don't want to match whatever contract or whatever negotiations they might be having with another team. So all that to say, it is very, very, very rarely worked or worked to the fact where a player has left one team for another. the last time that a player received the non-exclusive franchise tag and actually played on it and or actually switched teams was Joey Galloway in 2000. That was 24 years ago, and I was four.
Don't say that, guy. There you go.
So, all right. For everyone out there who's like, oh, my gosh, why would they even allow a team to try to get him? Simmer down. The same exact thing happened last year with Lamar Jackson. And it turns out that teams weren't even willing to give up two first-round picks. Now, granted, Lamar was asking reportedly for some pretty, you know, big-time guarantees. But still, no one wanted to give up a big contract and two first-round picks for what turned out to be a future two-time league MVP because he won it again last year. So I would not think that Michael Pittman Jr., who is very good, by the way, very much in my eyes, a number one receiver, he's not worth two first-round picks.
No.
And honestly, and this is not a hot take, if the Colts actually receive that offer from someone, they should just take it because that would be a huge, in my opinion, overpay for a player of his caliber. Not saying he's not good, but people just don't do that. You can't give up two first-round picks for that. And it just doesn't happen. We don't see this happen ever. Like I said, they're not going to do it for a quarterback. They're not going to do it for anybody. So everyone can just relax. It is just a cost-effective way. And basically, this allows, I guess, Pittman to sort of see his market if teams are interested and actually want to pursue him. We'll see if anyone actually presents a formal offer, which the Colts can just match at that point. But I doubt that we see much of anything happen with this. And to me, and I reported this, you know, the Colts are very hopeful, still hopeful they're going to get a long-term deal done with Pittman. So I look at this, Jim, as a step rather than an obstacle or something that would make MPJ mad. Michael was very, very candid and aware of his entire situation, not only throughout the season, but dating all the way back to last summer where he came in with this, you know, hey, I'm just here for now. I hope the Colts want me. Yes, they want you. Now they're going to do everything in their power to keep you. But they're going to take, in my opinion, the long route to do so. Now, I'm not saying it's going to drag out to the point where we get to the beginning of the season. We're like, what the heck is going on? And is he happy? All this stuff. I just think that it'll take a little bit more time for both sides to come to an agreement, but I don't envision this becoming some nasty dispute or something like that. I do expect Pittman to eventually land a deal somewhere in the $100 million 4-year range with about $45 to $50 million guaranteed, because that's just the rate of wide receivers. And the extra $30 million in salary cap certainly doesn't help. I mean, doesn't hurt if you're trying to make him happy while still keeping some flexibility to build your team.
The Colts are not a team. This is back when I covered them as well. They're not a team that's eager to overpay anybody. They want to pay what the market values you at. That they're determined to let the market set. I mean, this is one of the first things I remember Chris Ballard saying, is that they're like, when he tells guys that are going into free agency, like, he's happy for them in some ways because he wants them to get what they're worth, get their money now, because the NFL careers aren't very long. So the Colts very much operate in a way of like, let's see what the market tells you you're worth, and then either we'll give it to you or someone will give it to you. And you mentioned it, the new salary cap, the new contract for Mike Evans, that kind of messed everything up. Like, there's a new world now of like, how much are receivers worth? We don't want to be the first one to do it. Let's figure out what receivers are getting paid in this new era. And then maybe, you know, these, again, you hear comps come up all the time, like in negotiations. He's as good as this player. He's younger. He's worth this. He's worth that. Like, the Colts will do their due diligence in this brave new world of where the NFL is and all the money that's out there. And then they'll figure out, okay, this is the price we think he's worth, and how close are we to bridging that gap with Michael Pittman Jr. and his agent. So, like you said, I think they're just taking the longer, more meticulous path toward getting there. My guess is there's just no reason to let this, you know, become a thing. Ultimately, I don't know. I think when we see some of these contracts come down, if there's a Brandon Ayuk extension, if there is a T. Higgins extension, if there is, all these things will help, you know, determine what the market is for Michael Pittman Jr. And that's, you know, you see this sometimes. Some of these positions get stacked up. There was a defensive tackle run, I think, a couple of years ago. It was like Quinnen Williams and Dexter Lawrence and a bunch of these guys. And like, once the first domino fell, the next like three dominoes fell, because they're like, oh, okay, this is what the value is. This is what the market is. So I expect that to be kind of similar with the receivers here.
And I think the difference, obviously, between Mike Evans, who is still right now at 30, a better player than Pittman at 26, is that Pippen's younger, and the youth probably changes the equation a bit for him. If they were the same age, you're like, why do I want a player who doesn't produce the touchdowns? I think that's the one knock on Pittman is the touchdown. That's when you look at some of the advanced numbers, not even just advanced numbers, just overall numbers. My guy, Larry Holder, did a great job of like kind of giving everyone a visual representation of what Michael Pittman does or where he stacks up compared to the rest of the league. You can check that out on theathletic.com in my latest story about Pittman and the tag and everything like that. Me and Larry collaborated on that. And you can see, you know, the last season he was fifth in receptions with 109, noting that he also missed the game. And then he was ninth in targets. And so this is a guy that the Colts have ridden and turned to like a number one receiver. And everyone can debate about, oh, he's a true number one. Is he, you know, is he a number two? Is he glorified number one? Whatever the case may be. And I remember saying this last week, he is the number one for your team. And that's kind of how you have to look at it. And I think that his value and his leverage, quite honestly, increases because of the quarterback play behind him. It's not bad, obviously. I think that Anthony Richardson is in a good spot. The franchise is in a good spot, probably the best spot they've been in a while, having kind of figured out who they're going to hand the keys to. But he's also going into his second year and barely played as a rookie. And there still were questions about, okay, how much can he develop as a passer and in the pocket? I think he's largely answered those questions in the flashes we've seen. But I see you like kind of shaking your head. I agree. There are going to be some ups and downs. It's not like a certain thing. Like, I don't feel, and I've said this on the last podcast, I don't feel as convicted about Anthony Richardson as I do about CJ Stroud. Like, if you tell me right now, oh, CJ's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league for the next 10 years, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, he showed it his first year. I'm sold. I'm sold on that guy. I watched him, you know, in this big moments, go out there, win a playoff game as a rookie. Obviously had a big game against the Colts to get him into the playoffs, which is a de facto playoff game. All those things. But with Anthony, there's a lot of question marks still there, and you don't want to create a bigger question mark by taking away one of his top playmakers. And so I think that that just gives Pittman all the more leverage to ask for a lot of money. And, you know, worst case scenario in my eyes is that he plays on the tag and he just refuses to sign for anything less than whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And at that point, I understand maybe like the Colts' stance, but I do think that ultimately he would like to stay here. They would like to keep him here. And I think that he is the epitome of everything Ballard has preached, you know, homegrown, hard nosed, hardly ever complains. When he did complain the one time this past season, he actually took it back, which wide receivers and players never do.
I know, anti-diva maneuver there.
He's the anti-diva, man. And not to mention he's got a farm here in Indiana. I don't know if he wants to like sell his farm, you know, all that soon. So obviously there's more farms in other places of America, but I just think that this is more about the process rather than like the initial result. Like, oh my God, the Colts are being cheap. That's their nature. That's how they are. They're never going to like rush into anything, especially not under Ballard. And to me, they shouldn't. I mean, Ballard has said it, that the franchise tag is a tool. And it is a tool. It was collectively bargained by the players. Now, I don't like it personally as I guess a fan of the game, but it is something they can use. He's going to be here for at least one more year. But now the goal is to try to keep him intact and in place for years to come. And the last point I'll make, Jim, is that this is the best time to pay anybody because your quarterback's on his rookie deal. And you don't have to shell out that ton of money. Like, that becomes a problem later down the line. And for the Colts, they're trying to, at least in my opinion, at least how I would do it, trying to build a contender right now while your quarterback, even though he's coming off an injury, all those things, is on a rookie deal. So we'll see where it goes. But like I said, it was a nice day in the park for Mr. Pittman and his whatever bank he has with his funds in them, because it just got a little bit nicer. And it'll become a lot nicer when he officially signs the tag if they can't, you know, come to a long-term agreement. Which is the deadline, by the way, is July 15th.
Yeah, lots of time to negotiate that. And if it came up sooner, I wouldn't be totally shocked either. Like I said, it's going to be a matter of what the market dictates, and the Colts will use that, and that'll be what happens. So I do want to reiterate, though, don't put on your Patrick Mahomes goggles and think like, you don't have to win with receivers. That's not how it works for everybody else. Look at the 49ers, look at the Eagles, look at all the Lions, look at all the teams that were very successful this year and built around quarterbacks that are either young or, you know, maybe not as good as, you know, guys, they're not considered elite. Like, put great weapons around them. And as you say, pay them, especially now. You got 3 to 4 more cheap years of Anthony Richardson. If you do a 4-year deal with Michael Pittman, guess how well that timing works out, especially if you guarantee a lot of the money up front. So it should be a priority to now you got the quarterback, you got the coach. Now give them the weapons they need to win. So, you know, taking that jumping off point there, I want to move on to our colleague Dane Brugler's mock draft that he just put out. His third mock draft, his post-combine mock draft. I don't know how he continues to be this prolific when he is in the middle of the season, because I know he's also working on The Beast, which keep your, you know, keep looking on the lookout for. It's April 10th is the day that it's coming out. It's everything you need about the draft. Everything you need to know, I should say, and it's incredible, and I'm excited. I get to edit part of it, so that's always fun for me. I learn lots and lots about whatever position I get chosen to edit. But anyway, he put out his third mock. He has the Colts staying at 15, which, I mean, if you read his latest mock, he was pretty trade-happy. He made lots and lots of deals. But the Colts stay at 15 and take a guy that you should be familiar with because James has brought him up a few times, I think, in different places.
Yep.
Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU. Not the LSU receiver everyone's talking about as much with Malik Nabers, but a guy at 6'3", 209 pounds, just ran a 4.33 40-yard dash. Like, is a pretty good, smooth route runner. It's not just like a big, tall, fast guy. He can run some routes. Like, I think he did himself a world of good at the combine. And I think this was an idea that you have been talking about, which is, yes, bring back Pittman. Yes, Josh Downs is great out of the slot and has the ability to keep getting better. Yes, you have Jonathan Taylor. Don't stop there.
No. Go get the guy who, in this case, with Dane Brugler making the pick, Brian Thomas Jr. led the FBS in receiving touchdowns last year with 17. He's got big play ability written all over him. Had a chance to talk to him during the draft combine. Very straightforward guy. It was funny because when you're in these scrums, you're going to get the inevitable, have you met with X team question? And, you know, was it formal, informal, all those things. But he made it very clear, as I think every player usually does, except for a guy like Caleb Williams or something like that. He's like, I'll play for anybody. Anybody wants me, I'll play. Every meeting went great. And I'm like, yeah, well, what would you say? You're unemployed, you're trying to get a job. And the one thing that kind of stood out to me, though, was about when someone asked him what was his best trait, he was like, identifying coverages. And when he said that, my ears kind of perked up because obviously there's the tangible stuff. You know, he's big, he's fast, he's strong. But I'm like, man, if you are, you know, as witty and as headstrong as you say you are, dude, Shane Steichen will love you. He's also not much of a talker anyways, because there's, you know, obviously there's different personalities there. He's a pretty, like, mild-mannered guy, it seems like. Obviously, I'm expecting a different side to come out on the field, but I'm like, okay, a guy who doesn't talk too much about what's actually going on in his head, pretty, you know, short answers, smart about what he sees and how he deciphers it, sounds like a Shane Steichen type of guy. 100%. And the closer we get to the draft, the more I lean towards them picking an offensive player and possibly a pass catcher, whether it's Brock Bowers or, you know, one of these wide receivers. And I would say like one of the second tier, and I don't say second tier is a knock, but just like after that first wave, which I will believe will be Rome. How do you say his last name? Rome.
It's either a Dunze or a Dunze, but I think it's a Dunze.
A Dunze, so, yeah. Yes. Rome Dunze. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously, who I woke up at the crack of dawn for. He did not speak at the combine. So me and Marvin Harrison
James,
Jr. got
James
beef.
James hates him now, yeah.
Yeah, me and Marvin Harrison Jr. got beef. But
James fell out of the, or Marvin fell out of the first round for James.
That's, I know. And Colts fans probably like, let him fall to like our second first round pick or our second round pick. But no, you know, no hard feelings there. And then obviously Malik Nabers. Those are the top three, you know, Rome, Malik, Marvin. I think after that, you get into the guy like, you know, Brian Thomas, who I think could be wide receiver 4 in this class and could be on a team, you know, a wide receiver 2 or 1. He's got that kind of potential and upside. And I think what we were talking about a few days ago was, where does it leave Alec Pierce? And in that case, I'm not exactly sure, because Brian Thomas is a burner. He can, you know, take the top off the defense. He does present more with route running. And so to me, that's probably a good problem to have, something you figure out, you know, down the line. And the reason why I even, not saying him specifically, Brian Thomas, but just for the pass catcher, is that, you know, Chris Ballard was pretty hard on himself at the combine when he was talking about, you know, not giving that room more, that wide receiver room more last year, especially after Ashton Doolin went down. You know, you had your top three guys, but your fourth guy kept rotating in and out. So it really put a lot of pressure on these guys to produce. And so I'm all about giving, you know, a kid like Anthony Richardson, who, you know, kind of still is a kid because he's 21. It blows my mind. More toys, you know, make Christmas come early and give him a guy who can really go out there. And I believe make an instant impact wherever he goes in the NFL. And so I was pretty, I guess, if I had to put my GM hat on, I would be pleased with that pick from Dane in his mock draft. But I do think that I would honestly, I wouldn't be like completely floored, but I would be, I guess, a little surprised if they didn't go offense, depending on who's still on the board at 15. I know there's some other players out there that I really liked. Tyrion Arnold from, Tyrion Arnold from Alabama. Big personality, Jim.
Five pick for Colts beat writers
If you're talking about just like beat writing mock draft and like what would actually help me as far as like quotes and analysis and insight and humor, he's number one. Like he was great. I mean, he compared being a cornerback to his grandfather being a roofer. And we were like, brother, what? And he's like, nah. He's like, my granddad, you know, he called me T.A. He's like, T.A., man, when you're on the roof and the wind blows or you lose your footing, nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming to help you.
Yeah, so he said, I use that.
He's like, I kind of use that with my mentality with
cornerback.
He's like, I got to make sure that I'm ready, I'm prepared, because whatever comes at me, nobody's out there going to come save me. And he's talked about, you know, then I thought it was hilarious. Me and my colleague, Joel Erickson from Indy Star, we got a kick out of this, Jim. And I'm sure, you know, and for those who don't, I'm sure a lot of you might cross over, whatever. And this isn't like a promotion of anything other than our stuff, but just being honest, Joel has this hilarious laugh. And so
whenever he
laughs, I'm like, it makes me laugh because he just, we're like, whenever we're in scrums or in like, meeting rooms, press conferences, I can't look at him because he's like the kid that gets me in trouble. And so I say all this to say, Tyrion Arnold goes, yeah, man, you know, my favorite scripture in the Bible, something about being humble and humbling myself and going out there, making sure I don't, you know, get too boastful. And then like literally his next answer was like, yeah, man, my potential, I could be getting one of those gold jackets one day, not one you could buy at the store. We're like, you were just talking about being humble. And all I hear is like this Joel laugh, which just signifies that he picked up on it too. And we a kick out of that. But it was a great and a fun environment to be in. I thought he had so much personality. That kid has, honestly, I was thinking to myself, he has a career in TV after he gets done playing. Obviously, that'll be years from now. But he's that good, Jim. I mean, like, he's that fun, that personality, that confident, speaks well, all those things, nice teeth. I mean, all the thing you need for TV. And I thought it was just funny that this is a guy who is, well, also one of the best players in here, like, because usually, not usually, but sometimes, like, the best interviews aren't always the best players. But, you know, this is a guy who's going in the first round. He's a first-round lock. And I enjoy getting to know him. Also, I think he actually will fit the Colts' need, obviously, to get a starting-caliber cornerback. I think they need to address that for sure. I know Ballard talked about, you know, being high on, you know, Jalen Jones and high on Dallas Flowers. That's all great and, you know, and fantastic. But also, listening to Ballard, I don't know if you heard this, Jim. I listened to him talk to Daniel Jeremiah during the NFL Combine. I watched it on YouTube, actually, because they had like an eight-minute clip of him and Ballard sitting down together, and Rich Eisen as well, where they asked him about traits and the value of the drills. And he's like, you know, you want to look for the gems, but your team can't be full of them. Like, you do have to go get players at some point. And to Tyrion Arnold is one of them. Nate Wiggins, another wide receiver, a little bit skinny, you know, but he also took some offense to when we asked about his weight. He's like, check the tape. Nobody bullied me. And I was like, okay, like, well, all right. You know, brother, I am not getting out there to line up against you. You don't have to, you know, I guess get that way with me. I will not, you know, test your toughness, but he's another one. And then I guess the last one will be Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
Yeah. The other corner.
Big time player. Yeah. So to me, it's, if I had to guess right now, I would say that the first pick at number 15 is between a wide receiver, assuming Brock Bowers is gone,
Yeah, wide I was receiver. Gonna say Bowers is the yeah.
Yeah, but assuming he's gone, wide receiver or cornerback is probably what I would lean. And I'm curious to know, like, what do you think? Because I personally put more value on offense in this scenario just because of Steichen and Anthony Richardson. I'm curious to hear, like, what's your breakdown of where they should go? Is it offense? Is it defense? And maybe what are some things that you kind of focus in on when you're deciding, you know, GM, Jim Aiello, what to do with that number 15 pick?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Once I have my young quarterback in place, that's all I care about. I mean, again, obviously you want to build up the defense and things like that, but my number one priority is making sure that he is able to flourish and that he has what he needs around him. And again, you have the play caller who happens to be the coach, so bam, you knocked out two birds with one stone there. You got a number one receiver you just brought back, at least for 1 year, Michael Pittman, bam. You got a running game? Yes. Like, could probably upgrade the offensive line. That's always a place where I thought, okay, if you want to inject more talent there, even if you don't have a direct spot for him to play right away, I'm okay with that. Like, the Eagles have done this a lot. They've drafted offensive linemen, got him in the pipeline, and then get him ready to go once, you know, like, let a high-priced guy go in free agency and go. Like, I'm all for that. So I'm all for spending on the offense, especially in the first round. I mean, I'm looking at Dane's mock draft. The first 12 picks are offense. You don't have a first defensive player until 13, Quinyon Mitchell, and then Dallas Turner, and then Brian Thomas back to the Colts in his mock. But the only thing I was thinking during this whole thing, and this is a very Chris Ballard thought, is maybe I'd want to trade back. Like, especially if Quinyon Mitchell, especially if all three corners are there. And again, or Brian Thomas and, you know, say, I don't know who your second receiver du jour is after the top three. And then it's, you know, Brian Thomas seems to be solidifying
himself. A.D. Mitchell maybe from Texas. Yeah.
But like, I kind of like the idea of sliding back and seeing if you can get a Brian Thomas a little bit later, or seeing if you do want to go corner, you can get Wiggins, you know, at 20, 21, that kind of a thing. There's a few edge guys that I think you could talk yourself into a little bit later on. Like, there is some depth in this draft. I'm starting to look at it as, like, there seem to be, I don't know, a lot of teams that need tackles that want to come up, I would think. A lot of teams that need receivers that might want to come up. I don't know. I'd be interested if I were the Colts to say, like, if we have Pittman, we have Downs. I think at this point, I don't have to, like, hide it from the world. I'm not the biggest Pierce guy in the world in terms of where he is. But he's still fine as your three. Maybe you don't feel great about it, but, like, you'd be better as a four. But, like, you're not desperate for receiver help. I don't know. My thought is maybe you can move back. Maybe you can collect a couple extra picks and add. But again, if and that's barring, like, if Bowers is there, I'm taking Bowers. Like, that's how I feel about that. And honestly, and again, I'm not mad if they take Brian Thomas at 15. That's a great pick, and I'd be happy with the two. I'm not saying they have to trade back. They're not a team with a lot of holes, but they are a team that I think could add. I know if you can add an extra middle round pick, try to inject, like, hey, maybe we didn't spend big in free, and we'll get to free agency in a second. Maybe we didn't spend big in free agency to replace Julian Blackman. Maybe we find our starting safety in the third round. You know, maybe we draft another starting corner in the second round. Like, you start to kind of play this game of how you're going to plug the holes with the young draft picks, which, again, by the way, is more of a Chris Ballard thing than the next thing we're going to talk about, which is trying to plug these holes in free agency, which he doesn't really like to do as much. So move back, collect a few more picks is appealing given where they're at. Though now I have to confess, now that we've talked about the combine, that I started today's conversations with James by trying to trade away the first round pick for Legarius Sneed. So I don't know if that's something that I don't think we talked about a little bit more. First round pick seems a little high, maybe, but I am curious to get your thoughts on this. I mean, Legarius Sneed seems to be out there. He is a very talented corner. He just turned 27. The Chiefs look like they don't want to pay him. They got him on the tag, but they look like they might want to trade him. What are your thoughts on Legarius Sneed? We'll start with realistically. Do you think it's something that Colts can and should look into or have looked into? You know, again, probably this part of the offseason, they probably have done their due diligence. And then, you know, we can maybe speculate on what a palatable price would be.
Yeah, I can confirm, I know support is out there, but and this is from USA Today, that the Colts were interested in Legarius Sneed. I can confirm that. So there is interest there. Obviously, like you said, to me, this isn't some groundbreaking news because it's like, hey, you need a cornerback, and a really good one became available in a way. Now, he has been franchise tagged. And I know, again, it's a non-exclusive tag, so people think automatically it's like, oh, my gosh, we would never give up two first-round picks. No, it's basically – and I don't know why it's the rules are written like this. Maybe I have to read the CBA better or just understand it better. But from my understanding – you can agree to a trade with different draft capital that isn't a first round pick, and you can still get the deal done. And they have allowed him to seek a trade. I know that for sure. So again, this is a scenario where I wouldn't give up the first round pick for him, but does a second and a future fourth or something like that get it done for a player of his caliber? Does a third and a fifth get it done? My point is, if I don't have to give up a first-round pick, I'd probably heavily consider it. He's 27. If I'm Ballard, I'm trying to win now. We saw a similar – and you actually texted me this. We saw a similar scenario kind of unfold a few years ago with DeForest Buckner. You know, they traded away the number 13 pick, I believe it was, for him. He had just played in the Super Bowl. And fun fact, if they had won that Super Bowl, he probably was going to win MVP. Like, he was that good in that game. Which I know if I bring it up to DeForest, he's probably looking at me like, brother, why are you reopening old wounds? But Legarius Sneed is a really good player. And I think he was one of the catalysts for that defense, which kind of carried them through to their back-to-back champions. Now, obviously, championships, now obviously, you know, it comes down to, I think, the deciding factor that I don't know, and I won't be able to know unless I'm, you know, the Chiefs GM or if I'm Andy Reid or something like that. It's just, how much do they really want to chase that three-peat? And do they value that opportunity? Because I don't think they're going to get better by getting rid of him. They'll get better in the long term, possibly, by recouping some draft capital and all that. But do they get better in the short term and try to do something that's never been done before, which is three-peat, by getting rid of him? I don't know that. But if I'm the Colts, man, I look long and hard at this. And I try to go get it done, because I think for so long during the Ballard era, there's been like this hamster kind of wheel. Now, obviously, you had a wrench thrown in there with Andrew Luck retiring, all that. But I'm of the mindset now where it's been 5 years since then. So at some point, we can't look back at and say, oh, you know, we need a little bit more time. Nope. Time is up. You got to show something. I believe for Ballard's tenure going into year 8, no division titles, one playoff victory, I believe, with a couple of appearances, but this isn't enough. And to make it enough, go get some win now players, and in that case, a really good win now player. So he's probably like the top of my list when it comes to quote unquote free agents. But I mean, others that come to mind, I mean, I look at Kendall Fuller from the Commanders.
Yeah, I know you like him. Yeah.
Yeah, I know a lot of people probably do, honestly. There are a lot of people probably going to be courting him. He's another, really good cornerback, still relatively young, experienced. He has all the things that you kind of want from that position. And if you need that position like the Colts do, you want to try to go get him. And then as far as, other players, I think the safety position is an interesting one. Like, we talked about that, Jim, and I know I'm high on Julian Blackman, but I'm not, like, sold on, for example, I think that barring anything crazy, they're going to bring Grover Stewart back. I don't know if I can say the same about Julian Blackman, not because they're not interested, they don't think he's a good player, but because there's other safeties out there. Maybe you can maybe speak to, who could possibly, fit that Ballard, Gus Bradley mold and maybe not have the injury history.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's the polar opposite of the injury history. It's Xavier McKinney. I mean, he'll probably be the top of the market for the safeties for the Giants. But the guy played every snap on defense last year. Not every game, every snap. The guy was on the field for...
Fittingly, Julian Blackman did the same exact thing until he got hurt in like week 16 or whatever it was. So, just a lot of, but he played well too. Played pretty good.
He is a good player. If they bring back Julian Blackman, I don't think it's the wrong move. But I am talking. Xavier McKinney he's got great ball skills. I mean, I saw him make a pick against the Eagles this year where he went up and got a ball toe tapped on the sidelines and called. I mean, it was a pick that most safeties don't catch the ball, first of all, and the rest of them probably don't get their feet down in bounds. And he did both. He's been a two or three time team captain with the Giants. Super athletic, can play in the box if you need him to. He can kind of move all over the place. Like, I don't necessarily see the Colts spending at the top of the market for any position, really. But a safety is a little bit of a depressed market, so it's hard to see them spending up there. But he's 25. I mean, I think he's 24 now. I think he turns 25. So young. Like I said, a leader. And can kind of do everything you need him to do. I'm a big Xavier McKinney fan. And again, I think the only time he's missed, if you go back and look at his Pro Football Reference page and the games he's played, I think the only time he's missed is when he got into a snowmobile accident during his bye week.
Oh, that was him. Year. Wow.
It was 2 years ago. And yeah, it was bad. He broke his hand and he missed time. But that's still, and again, stupid. And it was a big mistake. And he admitted to it and being, young and stupid and not doing that again. But other than that, that's pretty much the only time he's missed in his career. I'm a big fan. And then, I'm looking through, and again, you guys should all look, Randy Mueller's got his free agent rankings up. There'll be an updated version of it coming out with some of the guys that have been cut and things like that. Hard not to like the local boy, Jeremy Chinn.
I did see Panther that safety. Too. I saw that too, and I was like,
totally different player than the guy I just talked about. Way more in the box, big safety, likes to you can essentially be a linebacker for you in certain packages. Covers tight ends. He does. I mean, he's still rangy. There's a reason he was a high pick and people loved him when he was drafted, but he is, uh, he's big. He's a big boy and can lay the wood. And I'm a big fan of Jeremy Chinn. I know things kind of didn't go. He finished second in Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2020. I think people thought he was only going to ascend from there. Some injuries have slowed him down. I think a lot of changes in Carolina have slowed him down. But anyway, he's a guy I really like. Not at all the same type of safety as Xavier McKinney, but a really good player. So, I mean, those are two guys that I really like. But again, it's hard to see Ballard spending at the top of that market. I'm with you. I think if he's going to spend, it's going to be a corner. You can maybe talk me into like a middle-priced edge, but he did that with Ebukam last year already, so I'm not sure he'll do it again. I don't know. Are there any other guys that jump out to you? Obviously, there's some big-name defensive tackles. If you want to go crazy, you can have fun talking yourself into Christian Wilkins.
Nah, I don't think that will be the case for them. I just think that I guess selfishly, I want to see maybe a little bit more money spent by Ballard just to go out there and try to really put something out there. Because I think every year we can kind of tell, okay, you can justify holding back. I don't know if you can really do that this year, considering the division you're in, which does feel like you have a chance to go out there and obviously win it. You were a couple plays away from doing that last year. And then on top of that, trying to take another step forward under Shane Steichen. He isn't trying to go backward. And the only way forward, literally the only thing you can do better than last year is to actually make the playoffs. They had like one of the best seasons possible and not make the playoffs. It was a winning season, went down to the wire. Some guys had some really good years, Pro Bowl caliber stuff. And I think DeForest Buckner is a guy who's potentially like an all-pro caliber player every year. He just doesn't have the team success to really warrant the attention. But all that to say, I think it's time to be a little aggressive and go out there and try to get some things done. You're not going to get you're not going to get Jalen Johnson from the Bears. You're not going to get Antoine Winfield Jr., they've both been franchise tagged. You're not going to get those guys. There's some good players out here that you can go out there and try to go get. I'm excited to see some of the movement for the Colts, but also within the division. Now, we saw that Dalton Schultz is going back, I believe, to Houston, if I'm not mistaken, unless I'm getting that wrong. But that's obviously a big pickup for them. Yeah, he's re-signing in Houston. And then also looking at – I'm curious to see where Calvin Ridley goes. Because of the unique, trade implications there and all that, they kind of had to allow him to reach free agency technically before re-signing him. But, hearing from their fan base, reading stuff from some of my buddies, I'm like, people acting like this guy had like a terrible season. And I'm like, man, he had 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, which, by the way, was a little bit better, obviously production-wise in the end zone, than Michael Pittman Jr. So, and he's another guy who's relatively young. I think he's 29. He's not super old. So
he missed it effectively almost 2 years.
Exactly.
He's not a lot of mileage, that's for sure.
Yeah. But as I was talking to a lot of people around the combine, though, as much as I want to, talk about, this player can go here, this player might leave, or this player might do that, the bottom line is I think the extra $30 million in cap space will make teams a little bit boring, honestly. And they'll probably bring back more of their own guys. And Ballard talked about that. He says, and he talked about this. 107.5 The Fan with Kevin Bowen and Andy Sweeney, the wake-up show, he was saying when you have guys you've lived with and you've, basically treated as family for a number of years, he said, all their warts, all their deficiencies, all their, icks, all the icks about them that you were like, ah. And the new shiny object has all those things too. You just don't see them yet. And so for most teams, they're going to lean more towards what they know versus what they don't know. And with the power of the franchise tag and things like that, it's very rare that players like a Christian Wilkins, for example, even become available because they're so valuable to their team. So we'll see. I'm excited for it, though. I don't expect any fireworks, come the first day of the legal tampering period, which is Monday. And obviously, I don't expect any like fireworks come the official signing period next Wednesday. But depending on how, this free agency will determine or at least guide my thinking of what they could do in the draft.
Yeah. My mentality always with the draft and free agency is I like to use free agency to try to shore up all the holes that I have. Again, if it's a lot of holes, it's probably not possible. But I like to go, and again, that doesn't mean getting top of the market guys. It just means getting some veterans that if they had a start, you'd feel okay about. And that's how that's the mentality I would love to have as a GM. Again, I know that's not always possible, but I want to go in the draft with the ability to take the best player available and not lie about it. Like, oh, this guy was top of our board. And I was like, yeah, this guy fills a need. Like, that's what you needed at a position. Yeah, like, that's what you needed. And I think that's when you make mistakes. I think that's when you forcing guys is like, you know, he's not the best player, but we kind of need another receiver here. So we're going to force him up the board, and this will be our guy. And that's when you overdraft guys. That's when you misplace value. So I really like to see free agency be used as a tool of like, we're going to get this veteran and this veteran and this veteran and this veteran and plug the hole at safety and plug the hole at corner and plug the hole at receiver and plug the hole, you know, at those spots, and then go to the draft and go, okay, where can we really upgrade? Like, where can we go? And that creates competition on your roster. That creates a veteran experience with like leadership, you know, with a young guy. Obviously, they might not love it. They might've been brought there thinking they're going to start and then you drafted a young guy, but that's part of the game in the NFL. So that's kind of my mentality with this. Ballard is a little bit less like that. He does try to plug the holes before he gets to but it's usually very cheap signings. I mean, very, like, sometimes they'll bring in guys that are, like, you know, salary minimum guys. Like, did you plug the hole or did you just kind of add, like, a 53rd guy on your roster? So
Ballard, back that Brinks truck up for a couple of times, my brother. You know, you could go in there and get the hammer, break the piggy bank, and please, you know, go out there and spend some money. But we'll see. I mean, that's his mentality. That's what we have to go off of until we see otherwise. And so when I hear fans or other people saying, oh, could this be different? Look, I will not put anything extra on what Chris Ballard might do because I know him at least well enough now, you know, going into my third season where he's a pretty conservative guy. He wouldn't even tell us. And it was so painfully obvious that they were going to franchise tag Michael Pittman Jr. He couldn't even bring himself to do it because, and I'm not saying he was like saying that at the beginning. The question was, will you franchise tag him if you can't get to a long-term deal, which is the most obvious softball question asked. And he's just like, you know, we'll wait and see. And I'm like, ugh. But shout out to Mike Chappell, the old vet, as Chris Ballard said endearingly. He asked him a brilliant question. He's like, hey, well, you know, either way, do you expect him to be on the team or be in Indianapolis in September? And he said yes. And I was like, well, how come you just can't say you're going to tag the guy if you're not going to? So I know we were waiting around yesterday, and I'm like, man, like, there really wasn't any excitement to it other than trying to break the news or confirm the news on the actual franchise tag. But that was, again, to me, a step in the process rather than something that was going to be an indictment of how they feel about Michael Pittman Jr. or anything like that. So it's just funny that Ballard just couldn't even bring himself to state the obvious. Like, I know he likes to come off as, I don't know, you know, I know as much as you guys kind of know kind of thing and keep it all to myself, but it's like, you know, and I know, come on, man. Like, let's do this now. But he wouldn't. And I give him credit for that. He's himself. He is true to the Chris Ballard way. But I just thought that was so funny because it's like, if you don't, you know, tag this guy and you don't get a long-term deal, we were going to shred you. The pitchforks are going to be out. And I was going to be stoking the flames. But it did not happen. And so we'll see. I'm curious to know what MPJ feels right now. But as I said yesterday, I don't think he's upset at all. He acknowledged the fact that it's a lot of money to make on the tag. He said he didn't want to play on it, but that it also can be used as long-term, you know, a contract. And he also said, too, in true, you know, real MPJ way, anybody would be pleased making that kind of money. And so I'm sure it's kind of flattering in a sense, too, where it's like, you know, these guys think I'm good enough to not really, like, in a way, like, pay me outright, but they won't let me go. And in his case, it's obviously a lot different than last year with JT trying to avoid what would have been a potential franchise tag this year. And so I know everyone listening, you know, probably knows this already, but first time in 11 years and first time since a guy named Pat McAfee was
franchise tagged.
And yeah, I think he's making a little more money now than he did back then.
Yeah, just a little bit.
The top five Hunter salary which was, I think it was back then, they might have signed him eventually for like $2.9 million or something like that. But making a little bit more, I would imagine, with his things going on with his show and his podcast, everything else. But yeah, I'm curious to see, because some things need to change for this franchise to change. But I do like where they are right now. I think they're in a really good spot.
A lot of money. I will say, I just want to add one more thing before we go, is you talked about him, the warts that free agents have that you don't know about it. Like, you know, when he made that move with the 49ers for DeForest Buckner, and yes, this is a LeJarius Sneed point. He made it having, I think, done a lot of research, talking to the guys that know him. I think he trusted John Lynch. I'm not sure. I'm not saying they have a relationship, but I think they had a conversation about who he was, what kind of person he was, which, by the way, all came true. DeForest Buckner is about as good of a person as you could hope for, or at least seems to be, I should say.
God's favorite. That's what I call him.
Yeah. So my thing is, if LeJarius needs the real deal on and off the field, I think he'll know. I mean, Ballard comes from that Chiefs. You know, it's Brett Veach. He worked with Brett Veach. Like, he worked with a lot of these guys with the Chiefs. Like, I think if there's a deal to be made, that's the kind of deal he would make, because that's where you'll see Chris Ballard get aggressive, is when he can feel very confident in the type of player he's acquiring. Not just on the field. I think on the field stuff, I think Sneed's tape speaks for itself. I think during the playoff run, he was magnificent, frankly. I mean, just incredible, him and Trent McDuffie for the Chiefs. But the off-the-field stuff, the stuff you don't know, I think this particular place, Kansas City, is a place that he can tap for information and get the kind of information he needs to make this kind of decision. Now, whether or not they agree on price tag, I have no idea. Whether or not he's, you know, legitimately interested in LeJarius Sneed, or was just calling to make sure, you know, oh, what's the price? Okay, cool. And that's it. I don't know. I don't know what the, you know, the nature of the call was, but I just think if people get on Chris Ballard for not being aggressive, he has made some aggressive moves, and I kind of think a Sneed trade is maybe more in line with the type of aggressive move he would make. Now, I could be 100% wrong about that, but just kind of seems to fit to me a little bit. That's all.
Don't worry about it. If you're wrong, we will not bring this up months from now, which I'm sure someone listening will be like, James, you said this, Bob, you were wrong. But it's hard. And honestly, the last thing, I guess I'll leave with this. Actually, one quick thing before I kind of guess close this thing out. I do want to mention there was an update with Drew Ogletree.
Oh, yes.
Domestic violence charges were dropped. And they were dismissed, actually not dropped, but dismissed with prejudice, which means that this can no longer be brought to a court of law. They can't, so he can't, like, this will not come back on him again. It's over and done with, and that's the end of that. And now, I know some people are like, oh, what does that mean for his career? What is his future with the Colts? The NFL is still conducting their investigation on their own. They have their own personal conduct policy, which he initially had violated, which I guess ended with him being on the commissioner's exempt list, which he's still on right now. But this isn't a court of law as far as how he could potentially still be punished by the NFL. And so I say that to say the burden of proof isn't the same. There's none of that innocent until proven guilty thing when it comes to the NFL. They're a private entity. They can decide based on whatever they find in their research of this incident, alleged incident, to then punish him accordingly. So he's not like out of the woods or anything like that. It's still kind of up in the air. I did ask about him last week with Chris Ballard. Granted, this was before the charges were dismissed, but he said there was no update. I wouldn't expect one until the matter is resolved with the NFL. And then we could see some movement, whether it's they keep him or whether they cut him. Just speaking purely about the ramifications, I guess, for the team, he is one of their more well-rounded tight ends. But at the same time, if they want to move on, it will be a minimal financial ramification to cut him and cut ties. So we will see. I don't have any opinion about should he stay, should he go. I'm waiting like everyone else until we get some actual news, and then we can go on from there. But I did want to update that because I know that was something personally that I had kind of just been monitoring, because it is a factor, as you know, touch and go as these things can be. You obviously have to, you know, keep an eye on whatever's happening both off the field when it comes to professional sports. It's just what it is. And so that is the latest on him. And the next time we're in front of, you know, Chris Ballard, which I believe will be the owners' meetings, actually, at the end of this month. I will have the chance to ask him directly about, you know, his status with the team. Maybe we'll get an update from the NFL before then. But the bottom line is, that is the update. That is what's next for Drew Ogletree. On a different note with tight ends, Chris Ballard did praise Jelani Woods a lot when he was on Kevin Bowen's show. And I thought that was interesting. That kind of made me think, like, okay, will they really go just wide receiver in the first round? Like, are they high on Jelani Woods? Do they trust his rehab process? All those things. My wheels are spinning, Jim. They always are. But, yeah, that's where we are with Drew Ogletree.
That's a good update. And again, needed one so people can keep up with that. But hopefully, well, like I said, I don't know if I'll have another update on Drew Ogletree, but we will be back probably next week. Don't want to lock it, set in stone. James has got some cool travel commitments for next week with our owners now with the New York Times. So we'll see what we can do, but I'm hoping that we can get together and get in front of a microphone here Wednesday or Thursday of next week to kind of recap what has happened so far in free agency. You know, any Legarius Sneed trade that might or may not have gone down, or any other.
Hey, look,
I'm just asking for it
work,
now. I know, I know.
I wouldn't mind it. I would not mind it. You know, adding a Super Bowl winning lockdown cornerback at the age of 27.
Yeah,
I would not mind it. I would not mind it. Selfishly, as much as I love draft weekend and I love hanging out with Joel and all the other guys and Chap and Nate and Jake and all these people in the holder in the media room, those are some long weekends. So if they have less picks to work with because they went out and got a player who can really ball, hey, Chris Ballard, if you're listening, your boy would not be upset.
I love the way your mind works. I love it. I love it.
Exactly. And okay, and we heard from Shane Steichen this week. Talk a little bit about why he moved on and chose some different assistants. I'll probably have something up on that pretty soon, just sort of like a roundup of what's going on. Maybe I'll even do a mailbag, something like that, pretty soon to kind of get your thoughts on what's going on. But as always, you know, you all are pretty fun. I know people have been waiting, Jim, to hear from us. We had some tweets and I was like, wow, like this is pretty cool. So we're getting back into a little bit of a groove. And honestly, as it always is, I was, you know, watching some TV today, watching a lot of football coverage, and I'm going to look up one day and be like, oh, wow, it's time for camp again. So it's been fun for sure too. And honestly, it's been fun to hypothesize about what could happen because last year was so obvious.
Yeah, right. It was
just going quarterback and it's like, okay, which one are you going to pick? But now it's like they can go a lot of different ways, especially in those first couple of rounds, to make this team, in my opinion, a contender. And I'm excited about it. You know, Anthony Richardson, from what Chris Ballard is saying, he's doing good. They're taking it slow. Don't want any setbacks with that, but he should be on track to be fully cleared, I believe. Don't quote me on this, but I do think he should be fully cleared by, like, the next training camp. I'm not sure about OTAs and all that just yet. But he's doing pretty well in his rehab, and he's excited about things, you know, coming up. And also, he's going to be a dad as well. So, congrats to AR. Maybe I'll get him something for his see what he got on the registry. yeah, I'm excited, man. This was fun. The combine was fun. All this stuff, it stresses me out, in a good stress in a way. But Jim, we're crazy because we signed up for it, so we can't deny what we chose to do with our careers, and this is pretty fun stuff.
No, man, no complaining. This is it, man. This is exciting times. I'm excited. The next month or so is going to be a lot of fun. Actually, next 2 months, effectively getting to the end of the draft and getting through all that, and then you get to kind of look at who they got and what the team season's going to be like. It'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to all of it, and we will talk about a lot of it next week. And until then, thank you very much for joining us. Talk to you later.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.